Well, this morning, my message is called You Have a Story to Share. Now, do you know someone who is a good storyteller? Yes. You do? Do you know someone? You know, they have a way of taking things that are like just normal everyday things, like going to the supermarket, and they turn it into an epic saga. Now, I'm not the best storyteller, but maybe it goes something like this. You know, you could be like, what did you do today? It's like, I went to the shops, I got my groceries. Or you could be like, so today, I had a craving. And the craving was for a Vegemite scroll. Do we have any Vegemite scroll lovers here? So I was going to the supermarket to do my shopping, and, you know, I get through the gates and I look over and I see it. The Vegemite scroll. There's like a light shining down upon it. It's got a twinkle, but there's one left. And, you know, I look at the scroll, but then I look past it, and there's someone on the other side, and their eyes are fixed on the Vegemite scroll as well. And, you know, time starts to move slowly. The music starts. It's like, dum, da, 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 da. And we both move toward the scroll, and I managed to beat them, and my craving was satisfied. You know, we know people that can take something that's ordinary, it's mundane, and they can turn it into, you know, an epic story, a captivating story. And, you know, maybe I'm not the best at it. I'm sure there's people that are better at it than me, but what about our own stories? What about the stories of our own lives? Because I want to encourage you that even if you don't feel like a natural storyteller, that we all have a story that is worth sharing. You know, and it's worth taking the time to learn how to tell it and how to tell it well so that we can be a good witness to who God is. Because our story is one of good news. And it's one that the world around us needs to hear. The world around us needs to hear it. So my first point this morning is your story matters to God. Your story matters to God. You know, the world around us is big, would you agree? Yeah. Who's ever flown across to the other side of the world? It takes a long time. They should bring back the Concorde. They are. I probably can't afford to fly on it, but, you know, but amongst the bigness of everything around us, it can be easy for us to feel insignificant, for us to feel overlooked, that we're only a small piece of the puzzle. But despite this, we matter to God. You know, He's created each of us with intricacy and with purpose. You know, Psalms 139, verse 13 says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." You know, God knows you intricately, and He's been invested in your life since the very beginning of it. You know, turn to the person next to you and say, "You matter to God." You know, it doesn't matter if you're 5 years old. It doesn't matter if you're 20, if you're 80 or 102. You matter to God. You know, young people, you matter to God. You know, Matthew chapter 10, verse 30 says, "And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows." Have you ever tried to count the hairs on your head? Now, for the young people, who can count to 100? Who can count to 1,000? 10,000? It's getting a bit hard at this point, isn't it? To 100,000? 150,000? Because they say the average person has 100,000 hairs on their head. And if you're blonde, you might have 150,000. You know, but God designed each of us so intricately. He knows us so intricately that He numbers the hairs on our head. You know, I find that pretty incredible. Because we matter immensely to God. You know, you matter to God. And the story of our lives also matters immensely to Him. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "In Christ, He chose us before the world was made. He chose us in love to be His holy people, people who could stand before Him without fault." You know, our stories matter so much to God that He chose us, that he started writing our story before the world was even made. And you know, God's heart for us, his love for us, is not based on anything that we do, but on his unconditional love for us and the purposes that he has created us for. Because I can guarantee you that I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, none of us are perfect, but we are chosen. We are chosen by God. Because this verse continues, and it's my favorite part. Before the world was made, God decided to make us his own children through Jesus Christ. This was what God wanted, and it pleased him to do it. And this brings praise to God because of his wonderful grace. God gave that grace to us freely. He gave us that grace in Christ, the one he loves. You know, God was so interested in our story, in our salvation, in our freedom, our forgiveness, that the Bible says it pleased him to send Jesus to earth for us. And what did Jesus do? Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God knows the end from the beginning. And he's so interested in our story. Our stories matter so much to him that he chose to redeem us, to send Jesus to the world, knowing that we were going to forsake him, knowing that we were going to turn our backs on God and do the wrong thing. You know, think about this for a moment. You know, would you sacrifice anything for somebody who you knew was going to hurt you? You know, imagine you rock up to school or work every day, and there's this person who's always just behind you, and you know, you hold the door open for them, but then they slam it in your face. Would you continue to open the door for them if you knew that they were going to let it slam you in the face? You know, probably not. You know, parents, do we choose to still provide for our children even when they're naughty? You know, I thought of one story this week from my childhood. We had a pool in our backyard and a clothesline right near it. So one day, I came up with a game. I only played it once, and you'll find out why soon. Called Throw the Pegs in the Pool. So I'd go over to the peg basket, grab a peg and throw it in the pool. I went inside a bit later, and my mum was like, were you throwing pegs in the pool? And I was like, how did you know? And she said, the Holy Spirit told me. Yeah, that made me question, not for very long, but it made me question that maybe my mum was omniscient. Maybe God was telling her about every wrong thing I did. In hindsight, she saw me out her bedroom window. But maybe she thought it would carry more weight if I thought that she always knew what I was doing. But despite that, she still chose to love me. You know, she still used the same pegs to dry my clothes. You know, but we matter so much to God that he goes to these great lengths for us, knowing that we are going to do the wrong thing. He still offers forgiveness to us. So, point one today, your story matters to God. So, what are some markers of a good story? What would you say? And you know, what makes a good story? You know, does it move you emotionally? Is there suspense? Is there drama? Does it have a twist that you didn't see coming? Who reads the last page of the book first? Just me? No, not just me. Thank you. I'm in good company here. But when it comes to our stories, there's something about them that's even more powerful than emotion, than a twist, than suspense. It's more powerful than how they make somebody feel. And it's the second point today, and that's that your story moves things in the supernatural. Your story moves things in the supernatural. Now, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, they triumphed over him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You know, when you share your story, you're declaring God's goodness. You know, when you tell your story, you're telling of who God is, telling of how he's been good to you, of his power, of his protection, of his provision, of his hope, of his love. And you know, there's a spiritual significance to sharing our stories, to testifying of God's goodness, you know, to each other, but also to the world around us. You know, when we do it here at church, it builds our faith. It builds our trust in God and it shines the truth of who God is. But when we tell our story to the world, it shines the truth of who He is. You know, because there's plenty of ideas out there about who God is. You know, all you have to do is jump on Google, and I'm sure you'll find something. And many of them aren't true. They're not from an experience of God. But for those of us who know God personally, who have experienced Him, we have a story to tell. That God is a God of hope. That He's a God of peace. That He's a God of love. That He's a God of forgiveness. You know, if you're a young person here today, you know, your story can move things in the supernatural. You know, it matters that you tell your story at school, in your sport club, with your friends, in your home. Because if we won't tell the story, then who will? Because John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full." You know the enemy? He's in the business of stealing, of killing and destroying. And you know, it's his desire that we would not tell the truth about who God is. That the world would not hear the truth about our God. That we would stay silent. That we wouldn't tell our stories. But we have a God who has been so good to us. We know who He is because we've experienced His love. We've experienced His forgiveness. And when we tell the story, we overcome the enemy. We tear down the lies that he tells. You know, it's not just talking. It's not just sharing. You know, it's not just telling people the story of your life. But you're speaking faith and you're speaking truth into the atmosphere. You know, when we tell our story, we're literally taking back the ground that the enemy has tried to claim by declaring the reality of who God is. You know, who remembers show and tell? Do they still do that at school? Do you still do show and tell? It was always the best when someone brought a dog. I think it got banned, like, because it took too long. You know, if you bring a dog to show and tell has to go for at least 60 minutes. Everyone needs a pat. It is a good thing, isn't it? Less schoolwork. But, you know, maybe it's that you're at the beach and you found the most glorious shell on the ground. And you can't wait until Thursday morning at 9:15 a.m. for show and tell time to show everybody about it. Because it's so exciting. You know, are we the same when it comes to our faith? Are we the same when it comes to our story, our experience of who God is? Because sharing His story moves something in the supernatural. You know, I think sometimes we can think it's, you know, my testimony, it's not really that crazy. You know, it's not that good of a story. But I don't know if you've heard of the song before called Amazing Grace. Have you heard of that before? Who hasn't, I hear over here? You know, it's the story of I once was lost, but now I'm found. That's the greatest story that there ever is. You know, for me, I'm a pastor's kid. I grew up, I didn't have a wilderness season. But I can testify to God's goodness in my life. I can testify to how God's been my provider when I needed it. I can testify to how He's been my peace in situations where I shouldn't have felt peace. How He has opened doors that I didn't think would be open. You know, I think sometimes we desire a great testimony of what God has done in our lives when we already have one to tell. You know, because we're not meant to glorify the story. We're meant to glorify the author of the story. You know, the author is meant to be glorified by our stories. So point one, your story matters to God. Point two, your story moves things in the supernatural. And point three, go share your story. You know, I think for many of us, this can be a confronting thought. The idea of sharing our story, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's in our sport club. You know, maybe we think I'm not a good conversationalist. You know, I'm not a good storyteller. You know, I'm an introvert. I'm not good with people. You know, the truth is we can come up with a million reasons not to do it. You know, we can tell ourselves, you know, people don't want to hear it. You know, what if they don't listen? But what if they do? You know, what if they do want to listen? Because it's an imperative for us to share our stories. Because it is the Great Commission. It's what we're here for, to tell the whole world about how good our God is. You know, Romans chapter 10 from verse 13. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news." And do you see in that passage of scripture how it's an imperative? You know, our world needs Jesus. Our schools need Jesus. Our universities need Jesus. Our workplaces need Jesus. But how will they know if they don't believe? And how will they know if they haven't heard? And how will they hear unless someone tells them? And today, we're being sent to go tell the good news. You know, I said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Tell the person next to you that they have beautiful feet. Now, you might cringe, and I debated whether to get you to do that today, but in my defense, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. You know, those beautiful or maybe a little bit smelly feet bring the good news to people. And what is the good news? That God is victorious, that his salvation is for all people. It's a good story. It's the best story. It changes lives. It brings freedom. It brings healing. You know, it's of an eternal consequence. So we're being sent to tell our story. So we might ask the question, I don't know how. You might be asking the question, I don't know how. Now, my response is, what do we do when we don't know how to do something? We practice. We learn how to do it. You know, being able to tell your story, being able to testify of God's goodness, it doesn't just happen. It's something that's practiced. It's something that's learned. It's something that's sought after. So can I encourage you to practice it? You know, start by sharing it with a trusted friend, someone from church. You know, I'm sure it's much more comfortable to start by telling someone who believes the same thing that you do than someone who doesn't. You know, if you've never done it before, if you've never testified of God's goodness, I have good news for you. If you do it one time, then that's not true anymore. If you do it one time, then you have done it. You know, so we say we don't know how. Well, we share it in a way that makes sense to people. In a way that people can understand. You know, an example, like a framework for it is, you know, before God, what was my life like? How did I meet Jesus? And how is my life different now? You know, for me, it could be as simple as, you know, I grew up in church. I always knew church. My parents were pastors. I never went off the rails, but I was never sure of myself. I didn't know who I was. But then Jesus spoke to me about who I am. And now in the moments in my life, I know I can rely upon him for my strength because he told me who I am. You know, we need to be real about it. You know, we have a good story. We don't need to embellish it. The truth is what matters. You know, for the parents, and also not for the parents, Do we teach this to our kids? Do we teach them how to tell the story? You know, for the rest of us, do we teach each other? Do we encourage each other to tell our stories? You know, parents, can we commit to teach this to our kids? To encourage them to do it? You know, if you're a young person, can you think of something you're thankful for that God has done for you this week that you could tell to someone? You know, maybe the adults could, we could grab that one too. You know, what's God done this week that I'm thankful for that I could tell someone about? Because the fear factor is real. It is real. It can be confronting. But not only can we practice, not only can we learn how to do this, but we can ask God for his help. Because he gives us power. He gives us the power to do it. You know, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." That's good. But what does it say next? "And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." Telling people about me everywhere. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit is in us. And it's not for no reason. It's so that we are empowered to be a good witness of Jesus to the world around us. You know, I'm sure you know somebody who likes to do things the hard way. Do you know someone who likes to do things the hard way? Who has a self-propelled mower? Not very many. I do. I don't like to do things the hard way. Who has one of those like ones where you got to use your legs? No one. Do you not have lawn mowers? What are we doing? Yeah, a push mower. Yeah, like it doesn't drive along. Yeah. Because there's an easy way and there's a hard way. And then there's a harder way. I've got a photo. There's a harder way. There's a harder way. I don't even know if they'd cut through the grass, to be honest. Is anyone that meticulous about their lawn that they've taken scissors to it? Yes? Yes? I don't know if I'd admit to that, but more power to you. You know, when it comes to telling our stories, we can do it the hard way, or we can rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit to be with us. You know, before we go into these scenarios, before we go to work, we can pray. We can ask God to be with us. Ask God to give us these opportunities. Because it's God's power inside of us that truly speaks to people. You know, when we go and share our stories, let's pray for God's empowerment. You know, Acts chapter 4 verse 13 says, "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus." You know, what matters? You know, telling our story is important, but what matters is Jesus. It's about the author of the story. You know, the people recognized that they had been with Jesus. They were ordinary men. They may not have been the best storytellers, but they had the power of God in them. You know, how are we recognized? How are we recognized as people who have been with Jesus? You know, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. It says, "I may speak in different languages, whether human or even of angels, but if I don't have love, I am only a noisy bell or a ringing cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy. I may understand all secrets and know everything there is to know. And I may have faith so great that I can move mountains. But even with all this, I don't have love. If I don't have love, I am nothing." You know, that's pretty, it's a pretty confronting thought. But it's not just about what we say, but it's about how we say it. It's not just about what we do, it's about how we do it. Because when we go empowered by the Holy Spirit with God's power in us, but with this fruit of the Spirit and the character of God. You know, we share stories of a loving God. So our own actions should reflect that. You know, this is our mission, to share our stories. Are we ready to step out in it? Are we ready to step out in it? So this morning, know that your story matters to God. And that your story moves things in the supernatural. And now it's our mission to go and tell your story. So can I invite you to stand this morning? Because we're going to spend a moment praying together. That we would have confidence, that we would have boldness, that we would go with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we would share our stories. That we would see people meet Jesus, that we would see our workplaces saved. So I'm going to pray, but can I encourage you in this moment, can I invite you to pray for the people next to you as well as we do this? Come on, because we're in this together. We go together. You know, we're not doing this alone. So as I pray, just pray for the people around you as well. Lord God, I thank you for your love for us. God, I thank you that our stories matter to you. God, I thank you that you see us forgiven through the sacrifice that Jesus made. God, and I pray that we would take up the call to share our stories. God, that you would help us to step out this week. God, that in our workplaces, in our schools, in our universities, that you would help us to declare the truth of who you are. God, that you would give us the power to stand up to the lies of the enemy, and that we would declare the truth of who you are. God, I pray that where there's doubt, that where there's fear, that you would replace it with confidence. God, that you would give us boldness, that you would give us strength. God, that we would know without a shadow of a doubt that you are with us, that your empowerment is with us. God, we ask for you to send us into our communities, into our schools, into our workplaces, that we would share our stories and that we would see people saved, that we would see people meet you. Amen. Amen. Well, you can take your seats for a moment. Because this good news that we're talking about today, you know, it is for all people. It's for all of us. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior before, you have the opportunity to do that today. You know, God desires relationship with each of us. But there's something that stands in the way, and that's our sin. That's our wrongdoing. You know, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You know, because of the wrong things that we've done, you know, we deserve a punishment. But God had a better plan. God had a better story for each of us. And as he sent Jesus to earth to take our punishment, you know, Jesus lived a perfect life. He lived a sinless life, an innocent life. But he died a criminal's death on a cross. Paid the price for us. But on the third day, he rose victorious. He conquered death and he made a way for us to be forgiven by declaring our belief in him, by turning our lives to God and living in relationship with him. You know, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So just as we close our eyes, this is just for this moment. I just want to give that opportunity that if there's anybody here today and you would like to pray that prayer with us for the first time, to say, to get right with God, to accept, to ask him for forgiveness and to begin a relationship with him. So if that's you today, I just invite you to raise your hand. So while no one's looking around, just so I can include you in this prayer. Thank you. All right, well, let's pray, all pray this prayer together. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to make a way for me to be in relationship with you. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Amen. We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.